Yesterday, we mentioned that we must change our way of thinking, as Romans 12:2 says that we should. And we've also noted that we must study God's Word, as it says in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. And we also need to imitate Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. In doing so, it will result in us recognizing that we must stop doing those things that are contrary to God's will. It means that we must no longer live according to the world's ways, and instead strive to live according to God's way. As He has revealed to us in the Bible, that's how we should live, according to His way, which is sometimes called bearing fruit. A Christian must produce fruit in order to be pleasing to God, just as Jesus taught in John 15, verses 1 through 8. But what exactly is that fruit that a Christian must produce? What does that look like? Well, fortunately, the Bible provides several passages that answer that question for us. And we could begin with the most obvious, which is Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 24. Here in this passage, we have a list of 9 things or fruit that pleases God. We might suggest that you underline each of these in your Bible and even write them down somewhere so that you can be reminded of them and maybe even try to memorize each one. I want you to also notice that first, this is a collective group that is called the fruit of the Spirit, as in a singular sense. But the inspired writer goes on to describe the fruit with a plurality of traits. And then secondly, if all of these various components are compiled together, you might also observe that each of these traits only comes from having a right relationship with God. And that's because God is the source of each trait. Therefore, every Christian should strive to add this fruit of the Spirit to their daily lives in order to be godly disciples. It's all part of the responsibility that we have towards God. So let's now look at each of those elements individually. The first one that we have is love. We suggest that you study the word that is used in passages like 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 13, John 13, 34 through 35, and 1 John 3, 18 and 4, 18, and there you're going to find that it is a special kind of love. It's a love without borders or limits. It's an unconditional love. It's the kind of love that you administer regardless of the actions of others, and you have complete control of this kind of love. Now, with that being so, it makes it possible for you to love your enemies just as Jesus commanded in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. Now, it's rather interesting that there are 4 words for the word love in the original Bible language. The Bible was written in what is known as Koine Greek. And one of those words was eros, which is an intimate kind of love, such as what you might find in a marriage. And that word is not found in the Bible. And yet there's another one that is storge, which is a paternal or familial kind of love, kind of like what you would have between a mother and her child. This word is also not found in the Bible, but the idea is seen in Mark 7, verse 10. And then there is phileo love. This is the word for the type of love between friends, or what is called brotherly kindness, like you might see in John 11, verse 36. But then lastly, there is agape love. This is true love. It's the kind of love that always looks out for the best interest of others, like what we see in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And agape is the word that is used here in Galatians 5, verse 22. So the first fruit of the Spirit that should be produced in our lives is love. Now, the second in the list is joy. Joy is not just happiness or something like that, as some translations say. Rather, it's something deeper, more holy and pure. Joy is different from happiness because happiness depends on circumstances of health or good friends, a pleasing environment, or even security. But joy goes beyond all those things and draws its energy from one's relationship with God. One commentator said that The joy of the Lord is complete, and there is no human circumstance that can take it away, except when the Christian himself allows Satan to steal it away. And when you think about joy, have you ever considered that happiness and sadness cannot exist at the same time in the same moment, yet joy can coexist at the same time as sadness? And that's because joy is more than an emotion. It comes from a completely different source, and only God can provide this aspect of the fruit of the Spirit. For further study about joy, look at how the word is used in verses like John 15, verse 11, and Romans 14, 17, or 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 19, and James 1, and verse 2. Now, thirdly in the list here of the fruit of the Spirit, we have the word peace. I would encourage you to read what Romans 5, verses 1 and 2, and Philippians 4 say, have to say about peace. In Philippians, it calls it a peace that passes all understanding. And that peace is mentioned in Galatians 5, verse 22, here is that deeper than any human type of peace. It's a special kind of peace. So to help us understand better, maybe some synonyms would help, like the words serenity or satisfaction or even stability and certainty or security. But again, it's not some ordinary or common emotion. Godly peace is unique and precious. Now, according to the Apostle Peter, how we might obtain this peace from God, as we see in 2 Peter 1, verse 2, is in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Therefore, for a Christian, peace is an inner tranquility that comes only through the hope and trust that's provided by receiving the forgiveness of one's sin through salvation. That is, reconciliation with God. All right, so there are the first three components of the fruit of the Spirit. Think and pray about those for now. Tomorrow, we'll continue looking at the other aspects of the fruit of the Spirit.